I'm in another world. There's your 45-year-old Bible. Mine's 46, so I beat you. Anyway, if you'd like to follow along with me, I will be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that you would give Pastor Don wisdom and understanding of that's from your word. And may the message that you give through him be clear, and that he will handle your word of truth accurately. We give you all the honor and glory as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, since there's nobody coming in after us, I've got an hour, hour and a half, right? Well, last week we looked at the scriptures in Ephesians that told us about how we're to be combined as two separate entities, two separate people groups that were the Gentiles and the Jews. And we learned that we should not have separations between us. And the purpose of this is to form the new society. And that new society is the church. We live it out. We are the representatives of that new society. So while many today want to be isolated from the church, they want to have a faith based totally on a relationship with Jesus, and they want nothing to do with the church. Now, while having a relationship with Jesus is our main goal, to get to know our God and to communicate with him and so that we know his will is the main goal, it is up to Christ, the head of the church, and how this is to be done. And it was never intended to be done solo. Many think that the church is what they can experience. I come so I can feel good. I come so I can experience God. I come so I can be pleased with the worship music, even when the pastor doesn't know what capo to be on. I need my needs met. That is the attitude of many today. And there are those that think that if they come to church, that somehow God is happy with them and they will get some kind of favor because they are church attenders. But Jesus said, I will build my church. And Jesus intends for us to build relationships with Him while also building relationships with others. Listen to some of these verses. John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, Jesus is asked, which is the great commandment of the law? And he said to them, you shall love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So when we come to church to hear God's word, we are loving the Lord with all our hearts and all our minds. We want to be here to hear what He has to tell us. And then we're also loving our neighbor as ourself because we're in community with each other. And that is the purpose of church. It focuses around this great commandment. And the word translated church in our Bibles is the Greek word, which is a compound word called ekklesia, meaning the called out ones. So called out of what? What are we called out of? Well, obviously we are called out of the world. Romans 1:6 says we're called out of the world through Christ. And 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. And it's the will of God that we be here. In Acts 2:44, we see that those who went to church, it says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. All things in common means their lives are wrapped up in each other. Everybody was sharing their hurts, their pains, their grief, their happiness. When a baby was born, everyone rejoiced. When someone lost a loved one, everyone mourned. They were doing all things together and in common. And yes, church is messy. Relationships with other people mean hurt feelings, means different opinions, and mingling with diverse socioeconomic people. But that is how we grow in Christ. The church is important. You got to understand that our Lord gave up the highest glory to mingle with us, to commune with us. There is no comparison to His hurt feelings, His difference in opinion, or His socioeconomic status compared to ours. He came to bring us all together as one body and from two people groups that we saw last week. And last week, Paul also compared us to these three things. We are a kingdom because he talked about citizenship. We are a household because he talked about dwelling together in unity. And we are a temple, a place for the Lord, to worship the Lord. And today Paul will be emphasizing that we are a church. So today's message is the biblical centrality of the church. Because it is biblical that the church be the center focus point of how we grow in Christ. And it's important that we are here. And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here. Following Christ isn't easy. It is not easy. It will always require us to step out of what is comfortable for us. It always does. And God is aware of what we're going through. God is aware of all these things. And He does everything. Whatever He does is to bring glory to Him. And that's what we do when we come together at church. Our attention here is not only to worship Him and hear Him, but to bring glory to Him as well. For this reason, verse 1 of chapter 3, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. So Paul starts in this first portion of chapter 3, calling himself the prisoner of Christ. Though he's writing from a jail cell, he realizes that he's not the one in control of his own life. He can't control it. In fact, he was bought and paid for by a price like every one of us, and his life is not his own. So wherever Jesus leads him, he understands that that's where he's supposed to be. He realizes that his Lord is fully capable to keep him from imprisonment, but for God's own reasons, he's being detained. This is not Paul's zone of comfort at all. Just as we have things that happen to us like, ooh, I don't like that. That's uncomfortable. This is not comfortable for Paul. But look at what he says. And we have to understand that when you are in the will of God, your negative circumstances need to happen with God's purposes in mind. That's how we should be prepared to think. When something negative is happening to us, we need to keep God's purposes in our mind. What am I going through this for? There must be a reason, and there is. See, for Paul, he knew that he had stewardship, or the rightful handling of the gospel message which was entrusted to him. He knew that. Writing this letter is from that understanding. He's writing this letter because he focused on what he could do. He had a mission. He knew what he had to do. He couldn't go out. He did not dwell on the things he couldn't do. He did what he could do. That is the first application to us today from this passage. So many times we want to focus on the things we can't control. We freeze up when things happen to us and hinder us from our agenda. We all have an agenda. When we get up in the morning, it may be getting up and going to work and having a day that just is a normal day, doing our work during our work or whatever that work may be. And then if we're out, if we have to leave the home to do our work, we drive back home. And we think, okay, we're not planning really in our minds that something's going to happen, but things do happen. And when they do, we have to realize that, why are we in this? What is the reason for this? Knew his mission. Paul knew his mission. He knew it was the preaching of the gospel. That was his mission. That was his job. And his agenda says travel and meet people and build churches and preach the message. But now he's unable to travel. And he does the only thing that he can do, and that is preach through letters. And preach to those as well whom the Lord has put in his path. We know that whenever he wrote these letters, a lot of times he would have scribes that wrote these for him. So he would be saying these things out loud. There'd be somebody writing them down for him. He'd be chained to a Roman guard, and he'd be preaching the gospel to them as well. And anybody else in earshot. He was preaching. He was doing what he could do with whoever the Lord has put in his path. And we need not to focus on what we cannot do. That should not be our focus. But instead, we need to focus on what the Lord can do. Not what we cannot do, but what the Lord can do. Think of this. If Paul had not been in prison, we would not have the letters to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians, or Philemon. These are prison letters that he wrote from prison. And the Lord used him so that we could have these four letters in our Bibles that we can draw a lot from. It is a blessing. And when we are in problems, we don't see it at the time, what kind of blessing that is. We just understand it. Wow, this isn't comfortable. But after we look back on them, we can see exactly why God had us go through those things. And we have them, these letters, because Paul looked for what he could do in light of his situation and being obedient to God for the purposes that he was entrusted, his stewardship. Eileen and I knew a young lady, and she became pregnant. And she went to the doctor. Her name was Victoria. She went to the doctor, and they said, "We have news for you that you're going to have a baby. But your test came back, and you're positive for leukemia. And you're going to have to abort this baby because you can't wait until the baby is born in 9 months from now. Your cancer will have grown too much and then we won't be able to fight it." And she said, "No, I'm going to trust God in this." 9 months later, she has a healthy baby. She goes in the doctor to start her chemo, and they say, "It's advanced so much that we can only give you a little more time to be with your newborn baby and your family. It is terminal." She took every moment after that to come to church, to preach the gospel to anyone who would listen, to those who administered the drugs, the doctors, the nurses, fellow patients. She preached the gospel to her family. And through that gospel message, her father gave his life to Christ. He saw this weak, dying daughter was seriously committed to this Jesus. She could have withdrawn. She could have just waited to die. But she did what she could. She was imprisoned by her own body. She was not able to do her agenda of life. She knew she was not going to see this baby grow. But she did what she could. I found her chemo syringes in the waste paper baskets cleaning up after church. She came and she was very sick. Yet, she made God, including fellowship with church members, her priority. Her church attendance blessed her. She went to ladies' meetings. She went to the meetings that you ladies have here. She attended everything she could possibly do, and she talked to everyone she could possibly talk to. She looked at her agenda and said, I can't do all those things that are on my agenda, but I will do all that I am able to do. Ephesians, continuing in Ephesians. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by the revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul's message is that God is building a new society out of called out people. Paul's message is that he's building this new society, this new kingdom of called out people, the ecclesia. He's being a good steward of the ministry given to him by Christ to reveal this to us. And that message is the chosen nation of Israel and the Gentile believers together, as we saw last week, forming this group, this church. And that was in chapter 2, I believe, verse 20. And Paul continues and says, and here the translators include the words "to be specific." You can see they're in italics. And that brings us back to what is inferred in verse 4, that this is the mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery is that God, through Christ, will build the church using both Jew and Gentile, and that is why the church is important. It is the church that is the mystery. You're part of that mystery by being in this church. It was not known. It was not known by Israel or the prophets of old. It was not known when Christ was born. It was only revealed as Christ died on the cross and he said, I will build my church. And he built this church. No man can make himself a minister of God because the calling and the message and the work and the empowering of genuine ministry to and for God are his prerogative and only his to give. And Paul also states out of true humility that he's the least of all the saints. Why would he say that? Well, he does not deserve such an honor because he feels that the man he was, killing Christians, sending them to prison, he's the least of anyone that should have ever been given this great honor. In Paul's own account, we see the moment in Paul's life when he was given the ministry. It was given to him, like I said, by God. Only God can call you to the ministry. You can't make yourself. He isn't trying to make himself anything. He is just doing what he's been told to do because he is a minister. You see, when Paul stood in front of King Agrippa, he recounted his Damascus Road experience. And that's in chapter 26, verse 16. And it says this. This is the Lord speaking. As Paul is telling King Agrippa and those that are he's in front of, he says, this is what I was told, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you. Paul is stating to us that he has this authority from Christ as the head of the church to be a minister and to understand and reveal the mystery. He got this from the one that said, I will build my church. He got it from the very head, not from his own understanding or under his own authority. The building of the church is directly ordained by God. And therefore, our commitment to His church is of utmost priority. It isn't a man-made invention. It is God's ordained way that we are to come to know Him and to worship together and to build our lives together. Paul also tells us that through the preaching of the gospel, we have a never-ending supply that we can never get to the end of. A supply of what? These unsearchable riches. It's the unsearchable riches of God, His knowledge, all of God's truths, all of His blessings, all that He is and all that He has. And like the song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10 billion years, when we've been there 10 quadrillion years, it's a long time, and it goes on for eternity, we will still be looking for those unsearchable riches. Those are the unsearchable riches. That's a blessing that we have by being called. But it's a blessing that comes to us through the church that teaches the Word of God and not the doctrines of men. That's why it's important that a church teaches what is biblical and not teach the latest fad or not teach how you can be a better you. A better you will happen if you follow God. That's the whole point. We need people with zeal. That's what we need. People with zeal for the church. Zeal like Paul. Zeal like our friend Victoria and others who cannot help but to share out of their overflowing love for Christ with others. See, we'd like to see our nation have a revival. All of us would, and turn from its downward spiral that we keep every day. We can see the news, and every day we can see this downward spiral. But it's not going to happen if those who have the mystery revealed to them that they're supposed to be in church live it and preach it with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's what this nation needs. That's what this world needs. It needs churchgoers. The purpose of the church is not for your entertainment. It's not for, oh, I need to be a better me. It's what I need. See, we're here for others. Not only to learn and grow, but we're here for others. Our focus should be other-centered. Our focus should be not just on ourselves and what I want. Next week, we're going to finish up chapter 3. And soon after that, we're going to go into chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we're going to see the reason for the church. But today, I want to tell you guys, and I want you to understand that the centrality of the church is important. We're going to learn what the reason is. It is important that we know that, but today's message is understand how important this church, this body, and not just the body of Christ in general, but this local church is important. See, it is because of the church you have received the gospel for salvation. Every one of us are beneficiaries of someone who going to church and passing on the message of the gospel that was proclaimed to them. Every one of us are beneficiaries of that. And the building of our nation was a direct result from the fact that we are united under God. And that teaching came from the pulpits of England and came from the pulpits of the American colonies. You see, God interacts in history through the church. It's important. You're playing an important part of history. But it's something else that's really amazing. It's in this next portion. We can see history. We can look back and read books and understand history. Things we can see. Things we can see it's happening right now and how the church can be a vital part of history. But your participation, did you know that, is also for the spirit realm? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 13. Look at that. So that the manifold wisdom might now be made known through the church. Through the church. Did you see that? Through the church. To the rulers and the authorities. Where? In the heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. 1 Peter 1:12 talks about angels, talks about what they desire. And Paul is telling us an even deeper part of this mystery. God's wisdom is being made known to the angelic realm, to the spirit realm. Reading 1 Peter 1, verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you, through those things preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Here's the picture. Angels have been watching what God has done since creation. They see man, and they see how we treat God and His love for us with contempt. They see Satan's rebellion. They saw the flood. They saw God's justice poured out and His great mercy as well. They watched as the one they sang praises to, the one that made them the most holy and powerful living God, be born as a baby and die on a cross for us. You have to know, when Jesus said, I could ask for 12 legions of angels and my Father would send them, you could just see the angels saying, just say the word, Jesus, and we're there. But instead, they watched Him be tortured and killed for us, the church. And they must be dumbfounded why God would choose to work through such beings as us, the called out ones. And as history rolls on, God is teaching the angels through the church His plan for eternity. He's teaching them through us. But not just the holy angels. The terms rulers and authorities means all the spirit realm. Satan and those angels that rebelled against God are looking on. And even though they try to thwart God's plan, they're being taught that the powers of hell can never overcome the church. You see, the church is displaying like a shining jewel, this multifaceted jewel with many, many facets, sparkling and displaying the glory of God. Jewels do not sparkle on their own. They reflect light. We are to reflect the light and sparkle from the light of Jesus. And that is the purpose of the church, to display His glory through history and through eternity. You and I are one of those facets. Each one of us should be shining. So how are you sparkling and shining? How are we doing the things that we need to do, even in those times that we are imprisoned by things that we can't control? We still need to be sparkling and shining, declaring God's glory, not for this earthly realm only, but for the spirit realm as well. Verse 11 tells us that working through humanity and bringing glory to Himself was the eternal plan from the beginning. He knew what He was doing. He knew what His plan was from the very beginning. The angels didn't. But He knew. It isn't like He's just like, oh, let's just do this now. Oh, that happened. Okay, well, maybe we should go do this. No, this was an eternal plan. He knew what He was going to do. And He did it through the death of His Son. And not even the angels understood this. But they learn and they praise Him all the more as they see what He's doing. And Paul reassures us that the light of how God is working through the church, that every person that comes to faith in Jesus Christ can come before Him any time. Not in our own confidence, but in the confidence of what Christ has done to bring us back to God. And as a former salesperson, I will tell you, my products that I sold, I had to sell them to the very tops of companies. I had to try to get an audience with CEOs and those that were decision makers, because my product that I sold was so expensive that they would have to have permission at lower levels. And it was very, very difficult. It took hours. And many times I couldn't even get to see the big guy. But here's the thing. We have the opportunity to go before the one anytime that has control over everything at any time, because we are the called out ones. We are the ones that believe in His Son. We are the church. Do not take that for granted. Prayer is the biggest weapon you have against the enemy. And it is the biggest thing for you to receive blessings. We're told that we don't receive because we don't ask. We could receive so much more if we prayed more. We could also fight the enemy much better if we prayed more. We have that blessing by being the church. Finally, verse 13, in light of that God is in control and what he allows for those that are in his will, it's always for his glory. Always for his glory. So Paul says, I am being a light here in this prison cell. Don't think of it as a bad thing. As a member of the body, I'm shining out for you. It is for you I'm here. It is also how we communicate with our loving God. Suffering well brings glory to God. That's how we can bring glory to God. Suffering well. God through the church is demonstrating the beauty of his plan. He is putting together people from every race, gender, culture, into a beautiful jewel. The church exists to demonstrate God's glory. That's what it exists for. It exists to demonstrate God's glory. To his angels, his wisdom. To Satan, a demonstration of God's victory and his defeat. To the kingdoms of the world, what heavenly values look like when they operate in history. God tells us how important the church is. You heard it today. You heard it because you're here. And God is not going to force people to fellowship with others who follow Christ and hear his word. He's not going to force anyone. Our free will allow us to make the decision. God gives us free will. And we have decisions to make every day. Will we be obedient to God and make church attendance a priority, or to disregard clear instruction that the church is how God demonstrates his kingdom to all creation and not be a part of it? That's our decision. There may be many reasons that people don't come to church. I mean, being sick or, you know, once in a while having a problem that allows you not to come, that's normal, that's fine. But a conscious decision when you're completely able to come is always a selfish reason. And we're not called to be selfish. We're not called to be, we make our own decisions for ourselves. We are not our own. Isn't that what the Bible says? And we are commanded to be with one another. So there are selfish, and all of them point to either lack of faith or lack of understanding of just how vital the church is. We have a sign at our house that says, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Not many great people, we're told, are called into the church. And we're called because we're not great. We're called to confound those that are, like, how can God do this? And that is why we're here. We're here to show the world what God can do. Because it's not us. It's not our greatness. It's his. We're building a church here in Lake California. We're going to build a building. And we're not building a new building just so we can have a different place to meet. That is an awful lot of money to spend just to have a different place to meet. Wouldn't you agree? The reason we're building a church is so that others can come to church. That is the reason. That more people will want to come. And that we can better serve the community for Christ through the church. More people hearing the gospel. More souls being saved. More children understanding at an early age that all the stuff that they're learning in our public schools needs to be countered. That's what it's for. That's why we're here. And we cannot do it if we're not serving. We are a small body. And come a year from now or so, we're going to have a new church. And we're going to have everybody looking at this building. And I imagine our first day will be pretty full once we announce we're going to open. Well, it's going to be pretty full. And we're going to have families that are coming, maybe now going to churches in Redding, going to churches in Anderson, Cottonwood, because it's here in their community, interested. And we need servants. So we're prepared for that. We're going to have to change the way we do church because our church building is going to change. And how we do church is going to change. So we all need to be acutely aware of these changes and be prepared for them. On October 7th, we're going to have Neil and Heather and I are going to be putting together a children's ministry meeting and a teaching and a time to anyone that could come. We need more children leaders. We could possibly have a lot of kids show up on day one. And we need to be prepared. And we need leaders. And it's going to be exciting. We're going to have classrooms, not just a back room. We're going to have classrooms for individual age groups with appropriate things on the walls and material for them. And we need to be prepared when we come there, already learn the lesson so that it can pour out of us and not just read off a sheet. We need to have things for them to do so they're excited. And they say, Mommy and Daddy, we like that church. We have a lot of fun there. We want to go back. So it's going to be very important that we have more children's ministry leaders, more people in that ministry. And there's going to be a new church. We don't keep up the grounds here. We're going to have to keep up grounds. We've got shrubs and bushes and parking lots to clean. And right now we have a lawnmower and we have people that mow the lawn, but it's going to entail a lot more. We're going to need people to do that. We're going to have a building where we have to change the light bulbs. We have to sweep the floors. We have to keep it clean. We're going to have a building that it's going to be open to the community. And we need to be prepared to, as they want to use the building for the right uses, not just any use, but the right uses, that somebody has to come in behind them and make sure the doors are locked, make sure all the things are done, that the place is spotless and cleaned up. We are going to have to do church differently than we do now. And so, as I say this, I see heads, I see amen. So we need people. So first thing that we're going to do is really work on the children's ministry to make it bigger and to make it very appealing to those that come in. Not that it isn't appealing now. It's appealing. It's great for what we have for now, but we need to get better. And that's our goal. So that's number one. That is going to be this first step as we get ready to break ground on our new building. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your church. We thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for the ones that have been called out. Thank you for calling us out, Lord, that you have predestined us, as Paul said at the beginning of our message, to be a part of this. Thank you. And Lord, just stir our hearts to invite others and to be a light to you. Be one of those jewels that just reflect your light, God. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.